When you hire a supposed genius, you generally expect a genius. You hand them a straightforward task and you expect it to be done perfectly.
Right.
You certainly don't expect them to confidently hand you a stack of completely fabricated documents and then, spend the next 2 hours aggressively arguing with you about it.
Yeah, I mean, that's a literal nightmare scenario for a manager.
Totally.
But that's a remarkably accurate picture of what happens when you take today's most advanced AI models out of their pristine testing labs and ask them to do a basic chore.
Okay, let's unpack this
Right.
because our mission for today's deep dive is dissecting a fascinating and honestly intensely frustrating source text that explores exactly that. It's this raw, real-world teardown of AI hallucinations and marketing myths. And the author decided to run a simple errand using Claude 4.6.
Which is currently billed as one of the most sophisticated language models on the planet.
Exactly. And the task was just to go to their own website, takinggame.com, read the articles published there, and grade their quality. I mean, just read and report.
Right. It sounds like the kind of low-stakes assignment you could give an intern on their very first day. You point them to the URL, ask for a summary, and wait for the results.
But instead of a clean report, Claude comes back and aggressively declares that several of the articles on the site are completely fake.
Wow.
It just invents this massive, convoluted conspiracy out of thin air. And the best part, one of the articles it flagged as an obvious forgery was a piece discussing Claude 4.7.
Wait, really? Which is an upcoming highly publicized feature listed on Claude's very own app roadmap?
Yes.
So the system was staring directly at a discussion of its own future architecture and confidently rejecting it as impossible.
It's like asking a famous author to read their own diary, and they stare you dead in the eye and tell you it's a forgery.
Yeah, that's wild.
And the AI didn't just apologize and correct itself when challenged. It took the author 2 grueling hours of back and forth arguing to get the system to realize its mistake.
2 hours.
2 hours. And during that time, it was misclassifying perfectly good articles, scoring them poorly, and at one point, it even accused an authentic article of being written by a bot.
The irony of a bot accusing human writing of being bot-generated, while failing a basic reading comprehension test is pretty thick.
Yeah, it really is.
But the reason this 2-hour disaster is so important is that it exposes a fatal flaw in how we measure artificial intelligence.
Right.
If you look at the marketing materials pushed by tech companies, they parade these standardized benchmark tests where the AI is hitting a 95% accuracy rate.
I'm glad you brought up the 95% number because I've seen those charts and they make the software look completely invincible.
They really do.
But if it's scoring an A plus in the lab, aren't the lab tests fundamentally broken? I mean, it's like a student who memorizes the textbook, it's 100 on the multiple choice exam, but accidentally burns the house down when asked to boil water.
What's fascinating here is that they aren't broken, but they are sterile. There's a massive and often dangerous gap between controlled lab tests and real-world application. In
Okay.
the real world, that 95% accuracy rate plummets to about 60% when you introduce complex multi-step tasks.
Wow. I mean, a 60% is a D minus. That is a staggering drop in performance.
It really is. And it comes down to the core difference between simple information retrieval and synthesizing actual context.
Yay.
Like lab tests are clean, right?
Right.
The parameters are rigid. If you ask an AI, what is the capital of France, or solve this quadratic equation, it nails it instantly.
Because it's just retrieving specific data points.
Exactly. But the real world is messy and ambiguous.
Because judging the quality of an article isn't a simple math equation. You can't just, retrieve the answer from a database.
Precisely. To grade an article, the system has to read the text, hold the entire premise in its short-term memory, compare that premise to its general knowledge base, look for logical inconsistencies,
Right.
evaluate the tone of the prose, and then make a nuanced overarching judgment.
That's a lot of steps.
It is. And current AI architectures simply break down when they have to string that many complex qualitative steps together. That specific breakdown leads to a staggering 35% hallucination rate in complex analysis tasks.
Wait, over a third of the time in complex scenarios, it is just making things up.
Yeah.
That makes the word hallucination feel a bit too polite. When I hear that, I picture it just getting a pop quiz question wrong. But this source emphasizes that the biggest danger to you when using these tools isn't that the AI is wrong, but how it's wrong.
Because when an AI hallucinates, it is stating completely fabricated information with absolute unwavering certainty. It doesn't stutter. It doesn't use qualifiers.
See, if I'm unsure about a historical fact at a dinner party, I have a built-in social mechanism for self-doubt. I'll say, I think this might be true, but don't quote me, or I could be totally off base here.
Yeah, we use those qualifiers to protect our credibility.
Hmm.
But language models have a fundamental architectural quirk. They're designed to do one primary thing, which is generate text. They mathematically predict the next most likely word in a sequence based on their training data. They literally have no built-in mechanism to experience or express doubt.
So because it's literally built strictly as a text prediction engine, it would rather confidently invent a lie than awkwardly admit defeat.
Exactly.
It sounds like a bad dinner party guest who refuses to admit they don't know a topic.
It's the syndrome of the confident liar. The architecture is optimizing for providing any answer over providing an accurate admission of ignorance.
Wow.
So when Claude told the author, "This article is a lie," it used the exact same 100% confidence tone that it uses to tell you the sky is blue.
Yeah.
You simply cannot trust its tone.
So I'm looking at the source materials breakdown of the different models, and it brings up a crucial technical question.
Mm-hmm.
Like, are we just doomed to deal with confident liars across the board, or do some of these systems handle the pressure better than others?
Well, it varies.
The text mentions that Claude 4.6 has a context window of 200,000 tokens. But before we even compare the stats, we need to clarify what those terms actually mean. What is a token, and what is a context window?
Let's use a reading analogy. Think of a token as a basic building block of language, usually a single word, or sometimes just a syllable.
Okay.
The context window is essentially the AI's short-term memory. It's how many tokens it can hold in its head at one single time while talking to you.
So a 200,000 token context window means it can remember about 150,000 words of whatever documents I just uploaded or whatever conversation we're currently having.
That's a great way to think about it. It's like handing the AI a 300-page book and saying, keep all of this in your active memory right now.
Wow, okay.
Now, Claude 4.6 has that massive 200,000 token window, but its access to the live daily internet is somewhat indirect. It relies heavily on what was stuffed into its training data months ago, plus whatever you paste into that window.
Right.
And as we mentioned, it sits at a very high 35% hallucination rate for complex tasks.
Then we have ChatGPT-4. The source notes it has a standard 128,000 token window, so a smaller short-term memory paired with limited Bing search capabilities.
Mm-hmm.
It performs a bit better in the real world, sitting at a 28% hallucination rate, which, frankly, is still more than one in four answers being a potential confident lie.
But then you look at Gemini Geek research, and the hallucination rate drops dramatically down to 15%.
Here's where it gets really interesting. We finally have a tangible technical reason why one model acts smarter than the other in daily tasks.
Yeah.
It's an open book test versus a closed book test, right?
It is entirely about the underlying architecture of how it fetches data. Claude and ChatGPT, in many standard use cases, are guessing the next word based on static older knowledge.
Okay.
But Gemini Deep Research does something different when you hand it a complex problem. It performs multi-stage queries.
Meaning it's not just doing one quick Google search, reading the first headline, and calling it a day.
Exactly. It acts more like a human researcher. It actively pulls multiple sources from the web in real time, cross-references them against each other, and actively spots contradictions between those sources before it ever starts typing its response to you.
That's huge.
And most crucially, it actually provides the source links for you to check its work. It is doing the heavy lifting of verification.
Which totally explains why it's less likely to tell you a completely fake story about its own upcoming futures. It's actually looking at the live reality of the internet rather than just guessing what word comes next based on an outdated database.
That live verification is key. However, I have to firmly caution anyone listening.
Yeah.
A 15% hallucination rate is vastly superior to 35%. It's a massive leap forward.
Yeah.
But 15% is definitely not zero. You're still dealing with a system that will confidently lie to you roughly one out of every seven times you ask it a complex question.
I'm not sure the tech influencers on my social media feed got that memo.
Oh, definitely not.
If you spend 5 minutes scrolling online, you are bombarded with claims like build a complete e-commerce website with one prompt or launch a startup in 5 minutes.
Right.
It feels like there's a total disconnect between the 15% error rate we're discussing and the marketing hype promising instant magic.
The source material takes a baseball bat to those claims. I mean, the idea of one prompt doing all the work is a fundamental misunderstanding of what the tool actually is.
Yeah.
To illustrate this, the author breaks down the brutal mathematical reality of writing just one single standard 2,500-word article using AI.
Not a whole website with coding and databases, just one single blog post.
Right.
And the source states this requires anywhere from 55 to 83 iterations. That sounds exhausting.
Let's walk through what that workload actually feels like.
Yeah.
Because you don't just type, write an article and walk away.
Right.
You are looking at 10 to 15 tweaks just to get the initial prompt right so the AI stops using a bizarre robotic tone. Once it starts writing, you have to execute 20 to 30 section rewrites because the AI inevitably loses the thread, forgets the premise, or just goes off topic.
Then you have to do 5 to 10 manual fact checks on the side, right? Because of the confident liar syndrome we just talked about.
Exactly.
You have to open new tabs and verify every statistic it decided to include.
Followed by 15 to 20 structural fixes just to make the document flow logically like a human actually wrote it.
Wow.
And finally, another 5 to 8 final polish passes just to clean up the awkward phrasing.
Okay, I'll play devil's advocate here. Couldn't someone argue that the author just isn't very good at prompting? Like, is the magic prompt just a myth designed to sell subscriptions?
The magic prompt is a complete myth designed to sell courses. Even the best prompt engineers in the world have to iterate heavily because the underlying models are inherently unpredictable.
That makes sense.
If one single basic article takes roughly 80 distinct steps of human AI collaboration, imagine the complexity of a website.
Right. A functioning website requires secure authentication, which is basically making sure user passwords are safe, and API integrations, which is just getting two different pieces of software to talk to each other without crashing.
You cannot execute that level of technical precision in one sentence. Realistically, building a functioning, secure site with AI assistance takes weeks or months of continuous, highly focused work where the human is constantly correcting the machine's mistakes.
If AI requires this massive amount of hand-holding, and if I have to fact-check it 10 times just to publish a blog post, how am I actually supposed to use it without losing my mind?
Well,
this brings us to my absolute favorite concept in the whole deep dive, the Golden Garage Rule.
It is the single most important mental framework you can adopt if you want to use AI today without destroying your own work.
The rule is remarkably simple. AI does not replace your knowledge. It only speeds up your typing.
Spot on.
If you do not know the subject intimately yourself, the AI will confidently drive you straight off a cliff.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, it fundamentally shifts how you view the software. There is a critical difference between treating AI as a high-speed assistant versus treating it as a decision-making oracle.
Right.
As an assistant, it lowers the barrier for repetitive, tedious tasks, but you keep total control. As an oracle, you give it blind trust, you surrender your control, and the consequences are usually disastrous.
The source has hard numbers to prove this, showing that your success rate with AI correlates aggressively with how much you already know before you even open the app. Let's say I want to write a Python script. If I'm already a master coder and I use the AI just to type out the boilerplate framework faster, the source says my success rate is around 85%.
And the success rate is that high because you can instantly spot when the AI is taking a wrong logical turn.
Right.
You see the error, you course correct the prompt immediately, and you keep moving. Your baseline knowledge protects you.
Okay, but what if I step down to an intermediate coder? I know enough to read the language, but I'm asking the AI to solve a complex problem I haven't quite figured out yet.
Your success rate drops significantly to 60%.
Wow.
You're now using the AI as a consultant, which means you have to spend a lot more time testing its solutions to see if they actually work.
Yeah.
Because you can't verify them just by glancing at the screen.
And if I drop down to a beginner, like I'm using the AI as a teacher, asking it to explain concepts to me through trial and error,
the success rate plummets to 40%.
Yeah.
You're learning,
yeah,
but you are absorbing a lot of confident lies along the way, which means you'll have to unlearn bad habits later.
Which brings us to the absolute bottom tier. No knowledge. Let's say I don't know a single thing about coding, I've never written a line of Python in my life, and I tell the AI to just build me an application to make all the technical decisions.
The success rate for that tier is a disastrous 5%.
5%.
The AI will happily hand you lines of code that look perfectly correct to your untrained eye. It looks like absolute hacker magic.
Right. But underneath, that code is highly likely to be full of critical bugs and massive security flaws. Because you don't have the baseline knowledge to spot the lie, you will deploy broken, dangerous technology.
So what does this all mean for you, the listener? It means AI is a power tool.
Exactly.
If you don't know how to build a cabinet, a power saw won't make you a carpenter. It'll just let you ruin the wood much faster.
Ruin the wood much faster is the perfect way to summarize the danger of the no-knowledge tier. So we need a tactical approach.
Right.
The source material doesn't just leave us with dire warnings about power tools. It distills everything into a practical playbook for everyday use.
Let's get into the actual tools. If I have a specific task in front of me, which one do I open? Based on the source's real-world testing, it seems like there's no one-size-fits-all winner.
It's highly specialized. If you are doing complex coding, and again, assuming you already know how to read code, Claude 4.6 takes the crown with a 9 out of 10 rating.
Oh, wow.
Its context window makes it excellent for holding large chunks of code in its memory all at once. But if my goal is heavy research, finding broader context and verifying facts, the source points to Gemini Deep Research. It gives it a perfect 10 out of 10 for that specific use case.
And that perfect score is directly tied to its live web cross-referencing capabilities. It is the best tool for avoiding hallucinations when you need factual accuracy.
Right.
And ChatGPT-4 sits right in the middle as the balanced all-around option for daily lower-stakes tasks.
Regardless of which tab you have open, the source lays out 4 non-negotiable rules to live by. The first one really attacks the one prompt myth. Never, ever trust the first output.
You should expect to rewrite or reprompt 3 to 5 times at an absolute minimum. The first output is just a rough sketch.
Right.
The second rule is equally rigid. Fact check absolutely every statistic or technical claim independently. Open a new tab, use a traditional search engine, and do not rely on the AI's internal logic to verify itself.
The third rule is something I hadn't considered before. Triangulation. If you're dealing with a complex problem, ask the exact same prompt to 2 or 3 different AIs and compare their answers side by side.
It's a brilliant strategy. Because different models have different training data and architectures, they will rarely hallucinate the exact same lie.
Oh, that's so smart.
Yeah. If Claude, ChatGPT, and Gemini all give you completely different numbers for a data point, you instantly know you found a hallucination.
And the final rule brings us back to our dinner party guest. Ignore the AI's confidence level entirely. Its tone is a product of its predictive programming, not a reflection of its actual accuracy.
Exactly.
But I have to ask, if we have to check the AI's work this thoroughly, if I have to rewrite prompts 5 times, triangulate across 3 different platforms, and manually verify every single statistic, at what point does it stop saving us time and start costing us time?
Well, that is the great paradox of the current AI landscape.
Right.
But remember that 85% success rate for experts. When you have the foundational knowledge, checking the work takes seconds. You scan a paragraph or a block of code, you spot the error intuitively, you correct it, and you move on. The massive time save comes from the initial generation of the raw material, not the verification phase.
So it only costs you massive amounts of time when you are trying to use it for something you fundamentally don't understand.
Yes.
Like our author arguing for 2 excruciating hours with Claude about their own website because they treated it like an infallible oracle instead of a flawed assistant.
Exactly. The time sink happens when you lack the expertise to quickly identify the hallucination.
That is such a crucial distinction to make. To sum all of this up, AI is an incredibly powerful assistant, but a terrifyingly bad manager.
Right.
It is not magic. It requires your baseline knowledge to function properly.
This raises an important, arguably existential question, though, and it's something I want you to really mull over.
Yeah.
We've seen the hard data. Users with zero knowledge have a disastrous 5% success rate because they blindly trust the AI. But if AI does all the entry-level, beginner work for us right now if it writes our first drafts, solves our basic math, codes our simple scripts, how do we ever build the foundational expertise required to reach that 85% success bracket?
Wow.
Are we creating a future where no one have the baseline knowledge to check the AI's math?
I mean, if we skip the struggle of learning the basics, we become the very people who confidently drive off the cliff.
Exactly.
So your mission this week, don't let the power tools make you a lazy carpenter. Question your tools, test everything, and whatever you do, keep feeding your curiosity until the next deep dive so you actually know what the truth looks like.
Yeah.
Because the last thing you want is to be sitting at your desk, arguing for 2 hours with a virtual genius that confidently insists your own diary is a fake.
Right.
Until next time.